Back to Mark Snyder and PMPnetwork.com. With us right now is one of my favorite actors around, Corbin Burnson, and I am a huge L.A. Law fan, and of course, his portrayal of Arnold Becker was one of the greatest characters on television, and he took it to the farthest reaches of talent you could do, and he's with us right now. Hi, Al. How are you, Corbin?
I'm good. That's way too kind. Thanks.
Well, that was a great character to play.
No, it was great. It was a great time, great run.
And you got quite a bit of awards and certainly notoriety.
I did. It was a once in a lifetime kind of event.
Yeah, I remember the scene where you guys fell out of the ceiling. That was probably one of the most famous scenes in TV.
That was. That was at the time especially. It was pretty extraordinary. It's fun. You know, everybody talks about that day or that shoot, that scene, I should say. And what I remember is actually the day of shooting it, how funny it was with Susan Rattan and I, you know, sort of clamped onto each other, a couple of stunt people actually beginning the fall, then Susan wraps her legs around me, and we have to, you know, fall the last 2 feet onto the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a little secret about that scene, too.
Okay.
If anybody can actually go back and find it, or if it ever airs again, or you got a tape of it, you can actually see my underwear.
Ooh.
It was meant to look like I had no clothes on. We were meant to be in the midst of, the act. Up there in the crawl space, which if you can imagine, an office building. If you look at it really slowly, so I did have some white underwear on, you can actually see it.
See, you should have at least been wearing something that you couldn't see.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Of course I should have.
Well, now I'm completely destroyed by that character, although it doesn't matter to me if you had underwear on or not. Susan Rattan, maybe, not even her.
Yeah, she was completely naked.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. I'm more concerned with Susan Day, but that's another story.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I'm a Partridge Family kid, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were actually growing up too, right?
Not really. The truth, I never was a big Partridge Family person. I don't know what else was on during that time, but I don't remember being. I was never into a sort of like family shows. I mean, I was a Gilligan's Island fan. I liked Bonanza.
Hmm.
You know, Hawaii Five-0 was one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, I never watched Partridge Family until I got a little bit older and kind of watched it with the kids.
Right.
But
I never really, then again, I knew, you know, David Cassidy and Shirley, and so I knew all of them, so that takes away some of the, you know, mystique about it.
Well, that's true. Yeah. If you know them, that it kind of kills
the
character.
Yeah, they live actually right around the corner.
Exactly. I was looking at your resume, which is amazing. You have over 80 films and TV shows in your credits.
I know.
Some of these years you have 4, 5, 6 films. I don't know how
you
did
them. Yeah, well, there's parts of, I mean, what they do in those resumes, that's probably something that's pulled off like the Internet Movie Database or something. But, I don't officially list all of those on my straightforward resume that I would produce. But, some of those things are film, you know, where you go in and work 5 days on a film and they use your name like it's the above the title, you know, like you're starring in the film, you find out I'm the guy who was the pilot in the airplane.
Right.
But all in all, that's not to demean myself or any other thing that I do. But for instance, I'm doing a little film right now that's a great little film, but I'm only on it for 5 days, but that'll look like, you know, a whole movie when it comes out, and I'm actually doing another film while I'm doing that film. So.
Wow.
I like to work. I like to try different characters. I like to go from film to television and bounce all around.
Well, you've had some franchises that have worked well, like Major League.
Mm-hmm.
Done 3 of those now.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple other ones where you've had a couple
of... Dentist movies. I did a couple of those.
Mm. Yeah, the dentist with Dr. Finestone.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Those are fun, but I think that's one. I think that's one franchise that might be done. It's just hard to come up with more stories. But I've got an idea to sort of carry that idea of character, because there's a lot of people like that who want to see more of that, see me do more of that, and I've got a pretty strange little idea for a movie, clowns and circuses and things like that. But
now you actually write some stuff too, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do. In fact, I'm doing that more. I just started not because of my writing, but I started a little film company called Film Production, called Public Film Works, and which is it has a .com element to it. But we make little independent films, and we invite the audience to participate.
Hmm.
You there still?
Yep, I'm here.
We invite the audience to participate in the process of making movies. We let them do things like wardrobe, choose the cars, choose the props, choose the glasses, the watches, all the different things that the actors will use in the films. We do that via the internet site, and then whatever they choose, we put up there for them to choose, and whatever they select actually ends up in the film, including the title and a lot of different things, even some supporting actors. We let them look at auditions and
wow.
be part of the process.
What do you think of the internet?
What's that?
What do you think of the internet?
I think it's a fabulous thing. I think it's a great, great tool. Again, you know, it's like anything. You know, some people are some people are scared of it, and you get into the whole Big Brother connected too much. I want my privacy. I say fine, go take a book and go to an island. But the internet. I mean, I just use the internet right now to create last night to create a birthday card for my kids. I mean,
yeah.
it's a wonderful tool. It's a tool. It's a tool that's got to be respected like anything. You could say the telephone's a bad thing. I know people who make creepy phone calls. On phones. I don't know them. I mean, but that can exist. So, whatever communication device we come up with and create, somebody's going to abuse it. But I mean, the pluses, and I mean, hey, look, 911 alone has probably saved millions of lives just because there's a phone.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that your mom is Jean Cooper, who played Catherine Chancellor for so many years on The Young and Restless.
Right.
Is showbiz in the blood? Are any of your children exhibiting showbiz talent?
Actually, they are. My oldest son, Oliver, is an incredible artist and really, really enjoys film. I think, he sort of looks at film like a director would. And, I mean, I'm not going to say you are this, but I'll certainly guide him if he seems to be going one way. We've got a really nice digital video camera here. He's been making films. And using our software that we have on our computer, editing films and things like that. And, the other ones are musically inclined, and another one is, wants to maybe act, so maybe.
Yeah, now you will foster those things, but you're not going to push them, though, right?
I'm not going to push them. What I'm going to do is offer support in it and give them the tools and the ability to explore it. And but then it's up to them. I'm not going to, have. They got to be on the one kid who plays piano. He's got a piano in his room. Okay, there it is. I'm not going to sit down and say you have to play piano. You got to want to do that.
Absolutely.
I try to tell him how cool it is, and throughout his life how great it'll be to go in and, go up to a piano at any place you're at and be able to play piano, and how great a thing that is, what a great gift that is to have.
Right.
But I'm not going to force him. I'm not going to say, sit down, do your piano.
Actually, if you do that, you'll turn them off the piano. So
I think that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. I'm noticing some of the later films. One of the ones I was just on the internet, and they were promoting something you did called rubbernecking.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that about?
Well, that's a little film I did 2 days on. It's a pretty cool little script. It's basically about a traffic jam and all the stuff that happens in a traffic jam. I think they're having a little trouble sort of getting distribution on it because it is sort of a strange little script. And it does have a story within it, but it's really this ensemble of these different people stuck at various points in a massive L.A. traffic jam. They have to get somewhere. Meetings are late. Romance, when a couple meets while they're sitting across from one another. And I'm talking about a dead stop traffic jam
right.
that's not moving,
So that'll be like a direct-to-video probably eventually?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. Again, I just acted in it. I don't really have a lot to do with the other end of that.
Does that happen a lot? I mean, you make a film and then it doesn't come out for years?
No, not a lot. Not a lot. Occasionally, I mean, there's some stuff I do, like rubbernecking, which I understand when I go and do it. is totally experimental. It's young filmmakers getting really kind of, you know, out there, which I love doing, you know. I mean, I love being a part of that. You know, if it hits, I look like a hero. If it doesn't, nobody knows about it, you know.
That's true.
But meanwhile, I'm kind of helping people sort of push the art form. And that, a lot of that's what you'll see on that resume, you know. I mean, stuff that's just really pushing the form. And just, you know, you got two sort of careers. You can either be Bruce Willis, $20 million a movie, and you don't, you know, take, well, that's a bad example because Bruce does take risks. But, you know, you have one of those big careers where you don't take a lot of risks. Or you have a career where you work enough and you make enough in decent movies, and then you take some real chances.
Sure.
I can support my family and everything, I love the idea of having the ability to take some chances and risks.
Sure. You do Major Leagues and all these other ones that you're doing, Bloodhounds and stuff. You can afford to do some of these other ones, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, yeah. and it's just the way the cards have fallen that I haven't, you know, from Major League, you know, taking on that kind of a career where it is from one major movie to the next, which is, you know, I suppose in its own way, it's a good thing.
It's hard to keep up that pace, though. You know, there's only a few Tom Hanks in the world.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's just, you got to stay at that level, you got to find the material that absolutely supports it. There is not, you know, a big movie material. There's a lot of great little material. That's the kind of stuff we're going to do at Public Film Works. I mean, that's what we want to get into, you know, young directors, writers who've got these, basically traditional stories. I want good stories because I do want to actually have the films. It's important for the internet site, for all these folks who get involved on the internet part of it. I would love them to be able to go to the theater and say, hey, look at that. I chose that. I was a part of that.
Right.
I picked that, you know. I picked that actor. I would like to get theatrical release. We're not really getting into experimental filmmaking, as it were. We're just getting into small filmmaking.
If folks want to check out that website, what is the name of it?
Public Filmworks, www.publicfilmworks.com. Right now, there's just the, we'll be up in 2 months with our first film. It'll actually, by the time when we go into our production is when the actual site will launch. Right now, there's a little teaser, as it were, and a chance for you to, you know, put your email in and we can contact you as we get closer to the date, which we're hoping to be the middle of May.
Cool.
To launch with our first film, be in pre-production, our first film, and have the voting going.
Folks can notice that publicfilmworks.com. And if you want to check that out, you can. You have a new film that's just released. It's called Judgment.
Right.
In which you play, it's a very interesting character, actually. You play a prominent defense lawyer,
right,
who is fighting a very strange fight.
And, yeah, I am.
Yeah, one of the people who are up against Jessica Steen's character, Victoria,
right,
she has not been very good to you or your family.
No. Basically, it's a case in the kind of, it's in the, when Lucifer now reigns, you know, rules the earth, and everything appears to be good, and it seems to be a wonderful world. There's no more illness, no more sickness. This is a Christian movie, and again, that was a sidestep for me to say, hey, let's step into this form of making Christian films. Let's see what that's about. But in this film, it's basically I represent a woman. I'm a defense lawyer whose father was actually, through Jessica Steen's character, actually he was a minister, and he was put to death for having his Christian beliefs in this world where Christianity is no longer allowed. You're now meant to take the mark of Lucifer, live by Lucifer's law, and live a wonderful life on all appearances, you know, wine, women, and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I now represent, organized through Jessica, who's out to, again, now make, she's really out to make me because we were ex-lovers, I guess, or something. And I'm a guy who rides the fence. I'm, you know, hey, Lucifer, God, I don't really care. Just let me have my life, you know. I'm on my own here. I want to just live my life, do what I want to do. I don't want to get involved in either side. And she sees that as a weakness in me. And so she organizes it through the head counsel, Lucifer himself, to have me represent a woman who is also like my father, a Christian, who was like my father, a Christian, and is now potentially up for, you know, a death sentence, and I have to represent her. She's called a hater. Anybody who's Christian is a hater.
Mm-hmm.
And through the course of the trial, you know, I basically find my own Christianity, as it were, to representing this Christian woman in the One World Court, and it's interesting. Basically we put God on trial. I mean, that's what happens. That's what I turn the case into. Let's put God on trial. Let's see if God, you know, does exist. It's not about this woman. It's about God. That's what it's all after.
Right.
And it gets to be very interesting. I mean, you know, Jessica does a great thing. She says, if there's this God, why doesn't he come here? Now, God, come and help this woman. Defend her. Show us your presence. And of course, you know, God is, you know, like the wind. It has to be based on faith and trust.
I'm actually a big fan of the Lalonde brothers. We've done some interviews on Left Behind and Revelation.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that some of this stuff get done, whether you're Christian or not.
Right.
Morality is an important factor that's kind of missing in today's world.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that, you know, that I'm interested in, I want to keep working with these guys, with the Lalonde brothers, there's some great issues there. There's some issues that a lot of people, the Christian, not Christian, certainly, are, you know, questioning today. They're saying, God, look at all this going on, and there's got to be something more. There's got to be something different. And I think it's a great time for Christian filmmaking if, indeed, the one fault that I see is that, you know, too much of it sort of bangs you over the head, and I don't think that's necessary, and I'm going to be the big advocate to all these guys are saying they don't need to do that. Present the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a smart audience out there. Present the case. You don't have to bang them over the head and say, this is the way it is. You know, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And the Christian audience certainly doesn't need it. That's preaching to the choir. And the non-Christian audience is going to turn away from it if it's too, quote-unquote, Christian.
Right.
So it's a challenge, but it's fun. And I'm actually a part of the landscape now.
Well,
the Lalonde landscape.
I think folks should check out cloud10pictures.com,
yeah,
which has a lot of listings of all the movies, including the new one, Judgment,
right,
which is available through the site as well.
Right.
Is that going to be opening in theaters as well?
I think they are going to. You know, what happens with their films is they do video release, as they did with Left Behind, and
right,
then it did end up actually in about 1,000 screens across the country.
It was the number one independent theater release, too.
What's that?
It was the number one independent theater release that week.
And I think I think that's the plan with this one as well. I mean, I've already been told there's a couple of theaters that they're thinking about putting it in just to see how it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they do. You know, I mean, to me, whether a film gets in a theater or not is, sometimes I'd rather see do well on video than sort of not do well in a couple theaters just to say it was in a theater. I've actually seen it on a smaller screen because I saw a videotape of it. I haven't seen a big screening of it. And, it plays really well on that medium.
Mm.
There might be the other thing about it, and if it gets into a theater, great. And if it does well, wonderful, more power to it. But there's also something about sitting around with your family and watching this film in the home, and because it's about that, you know.
Mm.
It allows you to be intimate with the piece. And sometimes there's a great value to a video DVD.
Sure.
You know, especially today. I mean, everybody's got home theater systems, you know. I mean, there's a lot of times where I get all the movies from the Academy Awards and some stuff I haven't seen. And, man, I loved it. I have, you know, nice big screen TV, home theater, surround sound. And, you know, when the prices of that stuff is coming way down, I think, you know, to sit in your home and watch a movie and have your own popcorn is with your family is kind of a treat.
I agree with that. You know, talking about the movies and the meshing with TV because of the way that home video is going, it seems like your career is quite a mix of theater releases and television.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at your TV resume, and you've done a couple of West Wings, which must
right.
have been a lot of fun,
yeah,
playing a congressman. But the one that stands out, there's a couple of them that stand out on the resume. You did Baywatch and VIP, so you've actually worked with the lovely Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I have. Now, Pamela, I did Baywatch after I did the Baywatch Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she was on that.
And VIP I did last year, just at the end of last year. And a lot of that was, too. I just wanted to meet Pamela, and because, I mean, she'd be perfect for the kinds of films that we want to do at Public Film Works, you know, where she has a huge audience on the web that
mm-hmm.
would come and participate. And I think she might fare better there.
Did you give her the pitch?
Yeah, I gave her a script and the pitch, and haven't heard from her, but I haven't really followed it up either.
You did. I know you did a lot of episodes with of JAG,
yeah,
and that was a pretty good one too. But here's another one that I want to know about, the Seinfeld. You actually played yourself in an episode.
I played myself on Seinfeld. Yeah.
Which episode was that?
It's an episode where George and Jerry come to L.A. to pitch a TV series, and they're in the hallways of NBC, and they see me about ready to go on Jay Leno, and Jerry. It's a very funny episode. Jerry actually says
To George, his character,
to George,
Jason
he
Alexander,
says,
yeah.
George says, hey, look, there's Corbin Burnson over there. And Jerry says, look, just leave him alone. He's just getting ready. He's going on Jay Leno. He's just probably trying to focus so he can do a good job. And he says, now I got to go off somewhere. I'll be back in a few minutes. Whatever you do, don't bug him. And George, you know, of course, you know, lets Jerry go off. You know, guy looks my way. I look his way. I catch him again looking at me. He walks. He goes, I just got to tell you, I got a great episode for L.A. Law. And it says, ridiculous. And I'm listening to it, and it sort of fades out. And then it's a, you know, then now it's the, you know, Jay Leno show, and George Wendt and I are the guests. And you see George out in the audience. Not George. You know, George.
Jason Alexander,
George,
yeah.
Stands out in the audience. And, you know, you hear Jay Leno say to me, yeah, so anything funny happened to you lately? I say, yeah, as a matter of fact, this idiot just approached me. And, right before that, he tells Jerry, he says, hey, I had to talk to Corbin Burnson. And, you know, we're tight. I told him a story for L.A. Law. He seems to like it. I think he's going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to do this show. He says, it's a great story. Then you cut to me up on the stage, and I say, this idiot just told me the most ridiculous story. And, you know, of course, he's, you know, kind of shrinking in his seat as I put him down. But it was very funny. It was a funny episode.
It must have been fun to do.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah. Do you enjoy TV as much as you do movies? Or
Yeah. I love it all. Yeah. If it's a good character, good people, good story, good comedy, you know, it doesn't matter to me. It's funny. In England, you know, I lived in England for a couple of years after L.A. Law, 3 years, and my wife is English. And, you know, in England, there's no distinction. There's no, you know, two things. One, there's no distinction between theater, film, and television. You know, I mean, actually, you do theater, you're more powerful than anybody. But there's really not a distinction. If you're a working actor, you're a working actor, and it's respected amongst the industry there. And the other thing there is, once you've achieved a certain level of success, you're never sort of like here, you're never have your feet cut out from under you. Like, yes, he was on a series, that was 5 years ago, he's a has-been. You know, there, it's, you create, you know, once you've done something, you sort of, once you've entered that class, because it is all about class system over there,
yeah.
You know, you stay there, and it's nice. But the other thing there is, you can bounce around from television, you can do commercials, and if it's a good commercial, it's good. You know, as long as you do well,
yeah, around
it's
here
interesting,
you get,
it doesn't
yeah.
really matter. Here, there's this huge, huge distinction between, oh, you're on a soap opera, ooh. Yeah.
And there's a stigma if you do commercials as well.
Yeah, all of that, you know, yeah. there's all of that, and I'm, you know.
Now, your wife is an actress as well,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any competition when you're both acting like that?
No. The biggest problem when we're both acting at the same time is finding help for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But no, we're, she's actually, you know, she's actually does a lot of other things. She's a wonderful interior designer, home designer, not like a decorator, but really a designer of homes and the entire look of a home. Inside and out, and she's been starting a business of that. So, you know, she's focusing on that a lot. And if the right, you know, today she's going to meet somebody for some television show. But you know, I let her sort of take the choice projects when they come. And
yeah.
if anybody has to do some things that's making money, I'll let that be me.
Now, what about television in terms of like a series? Have you thought about doing another one? I know you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's just real. The problem is two things. Is one, I don't find a lot of stuff that's written really good, and the other is, you know, it's you know, considerably. It's just constantly getting younger, so the parts that I'm being offered or even looking at are, you know, sometimes the father, and it's just not as, I don't know, you know, the father's not as interesting unless it's, of course, you know, like in Malcolm in the Middle or something.
Right.
You know, that's a great role right there.
Yeah, sure is.
But
we have Bryan Cranston on our show, as a matter of fact.
Bryan's a great guy.
Yeah.
In fact, we auditioned for a TV series, and I got it, and the next day he got Malcolm in the Middle.
Hmm.
My show never made it there.
Yeah, you've done a couple of shows, The Extraordinary and
Right.
another one, A Whole New Ball Game, that didn't have huge success too.
Right.
So,
Well, Extraordinary actually did. It just they just created enough of them, and those kinds of shows that you do a certain amount of them, then they can syndicate them and do well. And but A Whole New Ball Game didn't make it and should have. I mean, I really liked. If I have any sort of not regrets, what's the word? Just upset that networks didn't push something. It's that. I mean, Whole New Ball. I look at a lot of sitcoms are on now. A Whole New Ball Game, and I take myself out of it and look at it. It was a funny show that was really getting better and better and better, and it was never given the opportunity. It certainly should have survived amongst some of the things that exist on the air as far as they call sitcoms today.
Well, it's interesting to note that I remember the position after Seinfeld, there was a lot of shows that were on during that time slot, and some of them were horrid, and they stuck
right.
around for a while. A lot of it's timing and where they put you on the lineup and who's
it's
behind
all
you.
That.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, it's all that. I mean, I'm not going to, because I have friends on certain shows, but you know shows that have been on the air, they've been in time slots and run for 5 or 6 years because they've had a good time slot, on
mm-hmm.
Thursday nights or something.
Yeah.
And it is all about, well, no, I'm not going to say that. You got to be good to some degree. You got to have some quality that's, that's professional to a degree, but the time slot's really important.
And someone at the network who's pushing for you to keep
yeah.
you. In the spotlight, make
mm-hmm.
sure you get enough promos and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I want folks to check out two things. One is the website cloud10pictures.com,
mm-hmm.
And that way they can check out the Judgment, which has just been released, and
right.
stars Corbin Burnson, and also Mr. T is in that, and
yeah,
Jessica
cool
Steen
guy.
And Nick Mancuso.
Mm-hmm.
Nick plays Lucifer himself.
That's him.
Interesting casting.
Yeah.
And also check out publicfilmworks.com, which
right.
is Corbin's site, and keep an eye on that because in the next couple months you'll see something developing on that site as well.
Very good, yep.
And thanks so much for talking
to
us.
I appreciate it. It's been great.
And take care of yourself.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.